On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
To Audio Whiplash. Okay, welcome. This is episode one of the Tall Can Sports Podcast. As we talked about in sort of the prequel episode that we did a little while ago, kind of the bridge between the former Leafs Brief podcast that we're going to put to bed in order to do more of a focused show. So that'll be called Tall Can Sports. We'll take a look at everything, but focus mostly from the Canadian perspective. We're pretty excited today. We have Nate Sager here, who's from Yahoo Canada Sports, focusing on junior hockey across Canada. How's it going, Nate?
Good, Matt. Thanks for having me.
That's
and thanks for getting my name right.
Is that normally a problem, is it?
Or? It's funny, like the N-E-A-T-E, people are like, okay, it's Nate, he's just being weird with the spelling, but they so many people say Sager is Seager. They think I had a bunch of chart toppers back in the 70s.
Silver bullet, man.
Yeah, exactly. I guess we should have got some Coors.
But, yeah, that would have been much better. Some tall cans, yeah, next time.
Next time. Synergy.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming draft. I know that's kind of right in your wheelhouse, and you'll be all over that. I wanted to start talking a little bit about where you got into this. How long have you been doing what you're doing now?
With Yahoo, I've been with them 5 years, I guess. It started around the 2010 Olympics. They sort of needed someone on the fourth place medal blog that they had because they realized, oh, wait, the Olympics are in Vancouver. Maybe we should have a Canadian writing for this site. And some people knew me and recommended me. And out of that, they launched the Junior Hockey Channel. And I was fortunate enough to be hired for that. And I've been doing that ever since. And obviously, we've got, the A-game sports blog as well that does sort of any different little niche things, Canadian things. And we've got the 55-yard line for the CFL. So, obviously Ottawa getting back into the league, that's sort of another sort of sideline that's opened up. So,
yeah, I should mention, obviously, the name of your most common blog is Buzzing the Net. You can check that out on Yahoo Canada Sports anytime. CFL is coming up. The draft is next week, I believe. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it's Tuesday. Fortunately, it's in between games of the OHL finals, so you can go over to the Red Blacks war room and ask about if what they've done to score more, try to score more rouges this season.
Very Canadian.
Yeah, it's the thing with that Simpsons episode where Homer's watching the CFL draft.
Fifth round, I believe, of the CFL draft. Is this your first, year with the CFL, or did you do that last year as well?
Last year I was there for every game. So okay. It was an interesting experience to go from, junior hockey and trying to, coax quotes out of teenagers to talking to football players who are a lot more, voluble and, usually pretty well-spoken. Football players, I've always found, are the most well-spoken athletes I've always, in the Big Four sports.
Certainly not shy, anyway.
Yeah, not shy, and there's a lot of, you know, verbal communication on the field, so, and usually a lot of deflecting blame to any one of the other 23 starters, so.
makes it entertaining for everybody
kidding.
Else. Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome to go from, you know, teenage hockey players to, you know, to Henry Burris, who, you know.
Smiling Hank. Yeah.
Yeah, who could, you know, talk an auctioneer into the ground.
He's always got something to say, that's for sure. Well, that's great. So, like I said, it's Buzzing the Net. You can check it out on Yahoo Canada Sports. Before we get into this year's draft, which I don't think there'll be too much suspense on what happens at the very top end of it, but I wanted to take a look back at last year's draft and just kind of see, you know, what you thought in terms of a year later, if you thought anyone had made any poor choices or, you know, if anything had surprised you coming out. Going into it, the Panthers had the first overall pick and took Aaron Ekblad. Was that, you know, ahead of Sam Reinhart, ahead of Sam Bennett, Leon Draisaitl? So was that the pick at the time you would have made?
I think so. I remember being on I was a very big Sam Bennett guy, and I don't think the you know, impact that he's had for the Calgary Flames in the playoffs disabuses me of that notion. Obviously, maybe there was a little bit of residual chauvinism there. I'm a Kingston guy, and it was kind of cool seeing a kid in Kingston have that kind of impression. And he's just got that, you know, pound for pound, heart of a lion thing going to that accentuates the skill that he brings to the table, which is also ample.
Right.
So I was really big Bennett guy, but at the same time, I was like, oh, how's this going to go? You just never know with a guy. He's not the biggest guy in the world. You just never know how that's going to play at the NHL right. level. So I was kind of like, you want the sure, you know, that, you know, you're talking baseball terms, the potential home run pick. Yeah, it might be Bennett, but Ekblad's a, you know, a double off the wall, definitely. And he's, you know, he's over there playing in the world. So I think by draft day, I was kind of like, yeah, I can see why it's going to be Ekblad. Because I remember being on a radio, doing a radio spot with a station in his hometown, and right on the fly, I just switched to Ekblad. So I was making sure they had the exclusive.
Yeah, obviously. I guess part of it boils down to team needs, right? You know, Florida's picked up in the last couple of years a Nick Bjugstad and a Jonathan Huberdeau and whatever. Didn't have much on the back end. Kulikov, I guess.
Yeah, and they've also taken Barkov the year before.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If there's no drop-dead, you know, number one phenom, you know, I think you probably do look at a guy who's going to be a potential cornerstone defenseman for you. You know, like Blatt's one of those guys, you know, the cliche 35 going on 18 was about him, so... You know, obviously, it looks like Florida got that one right.
As you said, he had a great year this year, and he's over there playing, you know, top minutes, playing really well at the Worlds right now. So, by the sounds of it, though, after that, it went Buffalo took Sam Reinhart, Edmonton took Leon Draisaitl, and then Calgary took Sam Bennett. I would say, by some of the stuff you said earlier, you thought maybe those two teams may have made a mistake that went ahead of Reinhart and Draisaitl.
Yeah, I really would have. I really liked. If it had to come down between Bennett and Reinhart, I mean, the other thing too was like those other two were, you know, late birthday guys, right? So they're closer to being, slightly closer to being near their ceiling and, than Bennett was. Bennett still won't even turn 19 until I think after the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. So I was really leaning Bennett, but I guess, you know, I mean, like I said, when you're drafting that low, when you're a GM and you're drafting that low, I mean, got to make sure you are drafting that high, I guess, and the team finished that low.
Yeah.
I guess you got to make sure you get it right. So maybe that, you know, dissuades them from the chance of your pick. So you see them go for Reinhart and, you know, ended up being their, I wouldn't say it's unheard of for a number two overall pick to go back to junior, but, you know, he did ultimately go back and had a great World Junior tournament for Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, he and Connor McDavid were kind of the tag team, one and two centers. And Draisaitl, you know, is obviously playing in the Western Hockey League Finals right now, the Kelowna Rockets, and dominant there. I still wonder, though. Whether he can play at a high pace, high tempo. I mean, he's sort of a guy who dominated in junior just because he's just a big,
size
thick
and strength,
forward type. So
I
thought he was a bit of a reach at three.
Yeah. For me, I think Edmonton, even after they took him, horribly botched that. Just with, you know, keeping him for as long as they did. Germany came knocking, asking for him for the World Juniors. They said, no, we're going to use him. We want him around. And it wasn't more than a week or two after the World Juniors ended. They went, yeah, okay, we're going to send him down. Well, you know, that tournament, even if you made a mistake in the draft and taking him as high as they did, that tournament would have been good for his development to be the go-to guy and to play amongst his peers or whatever. He wasn't doing anything in Edmonton at the time, and like they ended up sending him back. I think that was a horribly handled situation.
Yeah. And the optics of it are even worse because, you know, like Bruce Hamilton, who's the general manager of Kelowna, probably one of the most powerful people in the WHL, was also involved with the Hockey Canada Program of Excellence, and Germany was in Canada's pool. And it just looks kind of like, oh, we're not going to help another team in our pool and because he's a professional player, and we're not sending him down. And then a week later, he's back in the WHL and traded to, guess where, the Kelowna Rockets.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like, really?
Yeah. Everything about that screamed something kind of shady, or it just didn't look good. Like I said, I didn't think it was good for the player. I didn't think it was smart by Edmonton. And like I said, the optics even around Hockey Canada and the international community are not good. So
now it's not unheard of for when they're going to send a guy back for the balance of his 19-year-old season to sort of have some influence in where he goes. Like, and they would like rather the guy go to like a big market team in the league. Like,
sure.
When Matthew Dumba was sent back, the trade was worked out to send him from Red Deer to Portland for the rest of the year. I guess that was, I can't remember, 2 seasons ago or 1 season ago.
Yeah.
time runs together after a while. But it's at the same time, you know, and obviously Portland was contending that year too, so maybe it's not that far out of the realm. But at the same time, people are kind of like, yeah, it's okay to look at it a little askance.
Yeah. Number 5 had Michael Del Cole from the Generals. I'm an Oshawa guy, born and raised, so I've been a fan of his. We were talking a little bit before we turned the mic on about him. You said maybe you had a couple of questions about his skating. He went to the Islanders.
Yeah, I just think it's, I mean, he sees the ice really well. Like, I mean, he's a competitive guy. And yeah, I just think it's someone you're going to have to be patient with. And, you know, he'll need another season of junior. Be really interesting for him next year. He'll probably get a chance to go to a really good OHL team because, as we were sort of talking before, started recording, the Generals are, you know, really loaded up and went for it this year. And next season, they'll be a young team. They'll need to get some draft picks back. So, I mean, if you, I end up writing a post like top 5 guys in the OHL who will be traded this season, Michael Del Cole's probably no lower than number 2.
Another thing that we had kind of touched on was the Islanders really seem to have kind of an affinity for, I don't know if it's the way the Generals develop their players or whatever, but you know, starting with John Tavares and working down to Calvin DeHaan and Michael Del Cole, they've taken some kids out of that program over the last couple of years. DeHaan at this point hasn't turned into an impact player, but I still think there's some upside there. He might be kind of a 3-4 guy.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of Calvin when he was in the OHL. Sometimes those defensemen who are like whose calling card is stock and trade is their decision making at the junior level. So they're hard to predict at the next level just because you don't know how they're going to adjust to the increase in size and speed.
Right. So number 6 had Vancouver taking Jake Virtanen, who most people will remember from the World Juniors this year. He had a really nice tournament. Well, at least early on, I believe he ended up getting injured. Did he not? Maybe that was someone else.
That was Robbie Fabry.
That's right. That's right. Rob Fabry. Following that, number 7 had Carolina taking Hayden Fleury. Number 8, Toronto, William Nylander. Number 9 was Winnipeg with Nikolai Ehlers. And 10 was Anaheim with the Senators draft pick, part of that Bobby Ryan deal. They took Nick Ritchie. Anything stand out for you there as someone being too high or too low or that might end up being a bust?
Vertanen's an interesting guy because, I mean, he's one of those, you know, players. He's, you think about the tools, great skate. I mean, you saw it in the World Junior, great tools, and you know, just a big, thick, you know, power winger type who can really skate. You know, he's made some real highlight, real plays in the WHL where you're just like, you know, this is a man among boys. But people kind of wonder sometimes about the hockey sense because I think that 17-year-old year in Calgary, he had something like 45 goals, but he had like only half as many assists. I was just laughing because all the time people were like talking about Josh Hosang. Oh, Josh Hosang's a park hog. And I'm like, really? How does he have twice as many assists in the OHL as Jake Virtanen? No one's talking about Jake Virtanen not passing the puck. So, but I mean, Virtanen obviously filled a niche for Team Canada as a, you know, crash and bang type guy who had a little bit of skill, really fit in with what they wanted to do. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in at the NHL level. And I think there's a bit of a Virtanen type in this year's draft, as we'll get to. And obviously, those 8, 9, 10 picks, obviously Don Cherry was all over the Leafs not taking Nick Ritchie.
Right.
But I mean, I was kind of like, if you didn't, maybe Nylander was obviously the guy, but and he's put up great numbers in the, I think in the AHL once they brought him over halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he had been off the board, I mean, you'd just have taken Ehlers, who's absolutely, you know, shredded the Quebec League for 2 years running now. And I don't know what the Jets are going to be able to do with him next year when he's, because as a guy drafted from Major Junior, he can't play in the, normally can't play in the AHL, but.
That's a Euro.
But he has, yeah, it can be interesting. They can find ways around that with European players. I think they should find a place for him in Europe, but they obviously want to get him into a North American style game. So real dilemma there, but I mean, there's no point in him going back to the Quebec League next year.
Right. He's
had back-to-back 100-point seasons. I don't think there's anything left for him to learn there.
Yeah, he is one of those guys that has put up amazing numbers. Like you said, that it is always interesting that, you know, when you're a North American kid drafted out of the NCAA or out of junior hockey, like you said, you have a certain amount of years where you obviously at the age limit can be sent back to junior, but at that point it's off to the AHL. And there's these weird sets of circumstances that happen with the Europeans where you either have to send them back to Europe, but he's a junior kid. So there are more and more of these cases as more and more of these kids keep coming over and doing so well. It will be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah, just to finish the thought, the one that was really illuminating for me was the whole Julius Honka thing with, you know, because basically explained that some of the imports that come to the CHL are basically on loan from a pro team in Europe. So
right.
The Dallas Stars found a way around it and found a way to put him in the AHL last year rather than send him back to Swift Current. So I don't know firsthand if that option's there with Ehlers, but to me it's just something to keep an eye on because I just don't know how you could possibly send him back to Quebec League, especially because he was just getting worked over there every game, hacked and whacked. And Quebec League referees are kind of a little more old school than the ones in the OHL. Yeah. Like if they see a star.
That is quite a, that's within your rights. You have that, right? But what makes you the ultimate final say on what is good taste and what should be expressed?
And do you think there is a limit then on, you know, everyone, you know, you mentioned a little earlier, you live in this country that allows you to be offended and that's freedom and that is freedom of speech. But I feel like as we are living in this more and more sanitized, where it's never painted that way, but freedom of speech is continuously being curtailed into this, yeah, you can say that, but not in this way, right? Or you can't say this and that at work, or you can't say this and that on certain, like I said, for me to watch a reputable news person say
the Kelly on the bench somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. anyway, so yeah, Quebec, it's definitely an see how they go. I know they have dealing with one semi-significant injury because Marc-Olivier Roy, who's a second rounder of the Oilers, he was banged up a little and during that Rimouski series. So we don't know how close to 100%, how far from 100% that he is. But Obviously they're in a situation, they've dealt with this all year, and, you know, they've made a great showing by
even somewhat building a sod house on the prairies, right, as a good pioneer. I could deliver that in a way that kids would not go, oh, my God, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. No, okay, it's delivery, as you say.
Yeah. And the other one that I – to prove it was – there's one called Smodcast, Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. If you're a fan of some of their old movie Clerks and those some of those older movies, they now have a podcast that comes out, and it's basically the two of them are just sitting around getting high and talking about whatever is in the news or whatever atrocity they've seen on television or whatever.
And the word atrocity is relative, right? Well, like my idea of that's atrocious. Atrocity is relevant, right?
I chose the word carefully. I'm happy with it.
Okay, I get it. I'm just saying what's an atrocity to Smith and Mosier is probably different than what's an atrocity to most people.
The last one of theirs that I listened to, they found a Twitter account called ScanBC, which was just here's different places, different little news items across British Columbia, and it turned into a discussion, and they're laughing, and the entire time they're just getting hired. And like, how you can hear them smoking and whatever.
And I can guarantee you they talked about bigamy somewhere in southeastern British Columbia. I can almost guarantee you. Sorry for anybody listening out in BC, but that's the truth.
So it's just, that's fun to me. That's interesting, right? It's just, it's guys hanging out, and I have a couple shows that are like that. That they're not a straight interview format. They're not whatever. it's just, it's interesting to listen to. It's fun. You kind of relate to some of the stories. And so that's kind of what we're looking to do here. And, you know, to bring it full circle, I think episode two is going to be a rundown.
Postage?
Yeah.
I got to go out and I got to get an envelope.
Screw it. I'll just listen to it.
What am I? A triathlete? I'm not going to. I got to do a bunch of things here. No, I'm not sending that back. I'm just going to.
Just keep my money. You know?
I'm just going to chew on that. Yep. Who was the headliner on that? On that, which I could have cared less about, right? I showed up to see Gaslight, which to me was the draw. Right? I don't even know who opened. Who was it?
I think there was. Yeah, it was Hot Water Music.
I said, Nashville, but. Yeah. Not much dangerous, just sort of. And Hellebuck's had his moments, right, where he looked a little leaky.
No, it's true.
And I think Rene couldn't have done it any worse for his teammates when he let those two softies in early. One maybe, But Nashville needed to get that lead and then put that 1-3-1 into effect, right? And they never got that chance.
Yeah, no, they're not built to chase. They're built to lock it down and. You know, a really good team, but, you know, it wasn't their night for sure. So,
And you'd have to think that they are, you know, Ottawa was in the conference final, goal away from the cup final, and didn't make the playoffs, flamed out totally, super dissatisfying season here, right? Yeah. People are angry. I can't imagine it's much better in Nashville when you were an 8 seed last year, you run to game 6 of the cup final. You win the President's Trophy this year. You should have smashed Minnesota, but it was kind of workmanlike 6 games.
Right.
And then you lose. You lose to a good Winnipeg team, but you're out in the second round. This smacks of...
Winnipeg beat Minnesota.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Nashville had... who did Nashville play? Shit. I can't even remember now who Nashville played in the first round.
Yeah,
somebody's screaming at us in their car.
Yeah, and it's okay. yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But they have to be very dissatisfied there. Yes.
Colorado, yeah.
Yes, and if it wasn't for the Hamburglar, they would have had that done in 5-2.
That's true, yeah. No, you're right. After the year they had and the moves they made, bringing in Turris and Bonino, and obviously that top four being what it is, another year better for Philip Forsberg, still only 23 years old. Arvidsson has a full seat. Like Arvidsson last year was kind of a, for most of us who don't watch them every day, he arrived in the playoffs, right? And oh, look at that guy. You get a full year of him. I'm sure this wasn't what they had in mind after a President's Trophy win. And, yeah, you wonder, I don't see them having the same fall off that Ottawa did, but.
Oh no!
But
no, but can they roll back with Rene next year?
Well, that's going to be, you know, I know they're grooming Saros for the future job, but are you ready for that? And I saw an interesting thing right after the game. Somebody floated on Twitter: Lundqvist for Rene. Who says no? Right, and just flip them, see what happens. And that's an interesting maybe debate for another day. But
I'm thinking Craig Anderson in a pick.
There you go. Goes really well when Ottawa trades with Nashville. They should keep that up.
Well, you know what? 3 assists for Kyle Turris and nothing else.
Yep. How about before we move on to this, the predictions, Mark Scheifele, 7 road goals. That's a record
So,
in one series.
So let's flip back to the summertime when we had the Matthews debate.
Right.
And you were telling me how Scheifele was trash.
Yeah, I probably should expect the exaggeration there. I said he wasn't in the conversation of that. Trash.
All right, okay. Guilty as charged,
fourth
my man.
Line in Florida.
On the hyperbole, that is how that works.
Yeah, but no, but you're right. I was not sold on him at all, and he's been great all year. But this last round, unbelievable.
And if you recall, it was Eichel, Scheifele, Draisaitl, and Matthews. And I said Matthews would be likely lucky to finish third in that scoring race.
Right.
Any ideas where he finished in that scoring race?
Well, thank God Jack Eichel got hurt. And I don't know what Draisaitl finished with. I can't imagine he was great. Probably third if you're bringing it up.
No.
Okay.
No. Draisaitl scored the most points, though.
Okay. I'm surprised by that.
Draisaitl had 70 points.
All right.
Shifley, you're lucky, got injured because he only ended up with playing 60 games and scoring 60 points.
Just like Matthews, twenty games he didn't play.
Yeah, nine behind Matthews.
Okay.
Anyways,
yep.
It's very impressive. Very impressive. He's got 11 for the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's good.
I like the narrative better that guy just can't handle the pressure of playing at home. He's only any good on the road. But
yeah.
Dr. Dre album.
Yes, exactly.
No, it just seems like another ridiculous. But I do think if I'm the rapper, Dr. Dre, I get it.
Oh.
Terrible. Right. I get it. This guy is trying to, maybe with a little wink and a nod.
Hey, see what I'm doing there?
Right. And then when it comes legally time, there's not enough there. You know, no, that's not what I'm going for, right?
That's me, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It just check clears, goes, yeah, I don't think so.
Missed the mini camp last week and just sort of goes.
I'm just not feeling it, you know. Like, having a hard time. And he said all the right things. I'm having a hard time getting up to speed, and I just don't think I can do it.
If I could get.
Got to get my Blue Jays.
Yeah. Well, no, I do love Blue Jays. But I'm saying if I had to cut one.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But with the NHL package, I can't get Senators games, right? Because I'm in market. Am I right with it or Canadian hockey?
I wonder when you bring that up as an example, if we wouldn't be more forgiving of that. We like that in our Canadian hockey players. I mean, I don't give a shit about the Devils.
Yeah, but
the Jets, yeah. The Devils. No one does give a shit.
No one does. Not even those in Newark.
Right.
No, we wouldn't. I wouldn't be forgiving of that. That's a guy who wears the Maple Leaf.
You wouldn't be forgiven if he said, I don't care about the Jets.
If he continued to go on to say, I don't care about Canadian hockey.
Well, that's going to be a red button for
okay,
sure.
Okay, but that's what Votto did.
Yes, he did. Yes, it is.
So to but Taves is one of a huge phalanx
you think that's half Votto's point? There are now fewer Canadian players being drafted into MLB than there is into the NBA, and their roster size is a quarter that of what baseball is.
Okay, so what you're doing is helping or hindering?
Well, he shows up to the World Baseball Classic. All right.
But his comments have drawn way more than any of his.
I agree with you. I agree. He's going to – all I'm saying is I bought the apology. I believe him when he apologized, but I also believe – this is one of those things now that's out there, and you said it, and how much truth there is to it, whether you just shot from the hip and wished you hadn't, or whether or not this is what you actually feel and believe.
And I think as you touched on it, I think his biggest issue is that in
picking our fifth best defenseman, we'll give you our second and fourth best forwards.
Thank you.
All right. Fuck, what are you doing? And I understand when Seattle comes in, this will be a totally different thing for me because the Leafs will be in a totally different – the Leafs